Hello, citizens. This is Deadbug. Friend. Lover. Father. Father of many, actually. And some of them are from those godless third world countries. And I gotta support them all. Well, not the ones from the godless third world countries, because, you know, their cords can't touch me. But nevertheless, the other ones, I gotta divvy up some money sometimes. And you can help me. Sign up to my Patreon, where you get hundreds of my podcasts and three times as many of my films. And you won't be disappointed.
No siree, Bob.
And I'll also send you intimate photos when I'm drunk. So what are you waiting for? I'll see yous all over there. God bless each and every one of yous. Well, except for yous from those godless nations, which I won't mention. But your money is still good. Oh, and remember, with each 100th sign up, I'm going to buy one of my kids a pack of smokes and maybe even get them vaccinated. I thank you. On this episode of Getting to Know the Dead, the True Crime Edition, I'm going to take a look at one of the world's most haunting and enduring mysteries. That's the disappearance of three-year-old Madeleine McCann, who vanished in 2007 while on vacation with the family in Praia da Luz, Portugal. And 18 years later, this case still grips the world. New searches, new suspects, new controversies, supposed leaked evidence that could be rumors or could be fact. And with the main suspect about to be released from prison in a couple of weeks from a previous charge, well, that even makes things more urgent. Especially if you got kids. So I'm going to hopefully be able to separate the fact from the fiction, and I'm going to take a look at some of the evidence and the theories and whatnot, and try to come to some conclusion. So don't go anywhere. I'll be back in about 10 seconds. And welcome to another edition of Getting to Know the Dead. And I'm your host, Deadbug, your concierge to the abyss. You know, this is a case that still after all this time, it fascinates me. And I'm not sure if the word fascinate gives it true justice. This case intrigues me. I never get sick of hearing about this case and the turns. I mean, just when I think I've heard everything about this case, something new comes up or a new theory or... And, you know, and it leads me down that trail. You know, and even if the theories might be ludicrous, it's just one of those cases that where you have to entertain that theory. You got to break it down before you get to the point of saying it's ludicrous. I mean, at the core criticism of this case, you got the McCanns, these two doctors who many described as arrogant, and Jerry McCann, especially on camera, came across as this real prick. And, you know, a lot of accusations of neglect and irresponsibility. I mean, certainly I wouldn't ever left my kids alone. That's not a judgment. That's just me saying I wouldn't let my kids alone. I'm too much of a nervous Nelly. Maybe it's doing what I'm doing. For me, I would have just, you know. You know, the McCanns left three very young children, Madeleine 3 and the twins 2 years old. I mean, let's put that into perspective there. 2 years old, alone in the apartment while they were out dining with their amigos. And this wasn't the one night, this was every night. 2 years old. I mean, I can't even fucking imagine it. Leaving two-year-olds alone? I mean, I was still thinking my kid could die of cot death when he was eight. Much less two. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, maybe it's just, parents are more relaxed. And, you know, especially when they had tons of money and it only cost them $15 to get a babysitter. And they didn't. And their excuse was, well, we were checking regularly. Yeah, fuck, I don't know. For me, that's just not how I would have done it. And of course, it's easy to judge. And fun, too. And hindsight is the lottery of life. But, I mean, I guess when you see people who come across as unlikable, then it makes you want them, it's a human nature to judge them even more. And of course, the media, at least the UK media, played a strong part in us developing a profile of this couple, which made the public dislike them. They painted this Jerry McCann as this prick, this arrogant fucker who just thought, yeah, he could fucking do what he wanted. And Kate McCann, they showed her pictures from her college days, and she were a partier, she were a boozer. You know, she liked to get decked down as well. And I mean, who doesn't want to do that in university or college or whatever? But they were still manipulating us to dislike these people. And then you'd say, well, of course they killed the daughter, or of course they had a part in it. Which led to the couple being trolled for years online. And they're still being trolled. And meanwhile, these are individuals who are going through a horrific experience, a nightmare that they'll never wake up from. And I'm certainly, for one, guilty of judging them. I mean, when this case first came out, I was like, what the fuck? You're leaving a 3-year-old and 2 2-year-olds alone? And my kids were around that age at the time, and I was just like, holy fuck. I mean, for my kids, I had child gates everywhere. I had to put fucking things on all the cupboards, the fridge. And my son still managed to fucking get into the fridge and stick his hand into his fingers into a can of beans and get it stuck in there and cut open. I had to take him in for stitches. And I only left him for a minute to go use the bathroom. And he's, you know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck? But they're leaving the kids while they're out in a restaurant? For me, that seems unbelievable. But then, it's like I said, I go from judging them to thinking they're for the grace of God. They're for the grace of God. I can't get away from this story out of my mind that it's just something that is just such a mystery that, you know, and usually a mystery plays out, there's an ending. But this one never seems to end. And you know, I want it to end. I want there to be justice for the family, for everybody involved. This location in Portugal, this resort, this town of Playa de Luz, it's... I mean, this dark shadow has hung over it ever since. And it'll never be the same. What people think this is like, you know, pedophile land or pedophile village and... And so many people have gone under that discerning specter of suspicion, for want of better words. And no one knows. No one knows. I mean, just the lives that it's destroyed. Now let's step back to May 3rd, 2007, and the McCann family are on holiday. There's Jerry and there's Kate, and they're both doctors from the UK. And they're taking their three children, Madeline, and her younger twin siblings. That evening, the parents and their friends were dining at the tapas bar, just 55 yards from the apartment. Now, this group of friends who had a meal together would later be known as the Tapas Seven. They were all close friends, and they were going out to this tapas bar every night. And each night, they had the table reserved, like all these big shots do. I mean, let's face it. Now, although this group, the Tapas Seven, willingly spoke to the police after Madeline's disappearance, they were known to be quite arrogant. They only gave when they had to give. They were pretty tight-lipped, and they certainly have not cooperated with any of the documentaries that have been made on this. And, like I said, together they had 8 children with them. So there were 3 couples, and I think one was the mother of one of the couples. But they came across, as staff have said at the resort, that they were quite rude, quite arrogant and quite rude, because these are privileged people. Now, take from that what you want to take. So this group of friends are all at this tapas bar each night, and they're all having a dinner, having some drinks and whatnot, partying. I mean, they're on vacation, for Christ's sakes. These individuals are doctors. They're important people, and they save lives. They're not like the rest of us mooks. And I know you'd agree with me, although I'm not asking you. So while this group is out partying, the McCann's children are back in their apartment alone. As for the other 5 kids along for the trip, belonging to the other individual couples, I don't know. I couldn't find out what they were doing, and it's not important to the story, because they're alive, presumably. So the adults all went and checked on the kids in turns. But at 10 p.m., Kate discovered that Madeline's bed was empty. The window had been opened, and it appeared that the shutters had been lifted. Santa What followed was chaos. Frantic searches, sirens, border alerts. And within days, the entire world knew Madeline's name. But along with sympathy came anger. How could so-called loving parents leave three children alone in a holiday apartment? Was it neglect, or was it a terrible lapse in judgment? In the UK press, they were openly condemned as reckless. Online. And there were some, not I, who said that the McCanns were as much to blame. They were hated and vilified and trolled regularly as the person or persons who took their daughter. And here lies one of the most uncomfortable truths. Yeah, they made a choice that night. A choice they've admitted they regret every single day since. But does that make them responsible for Madeline's disappearance? Or does it mean they live with a guilt that no parent should ever bear and have to live with? The truth? Well, it's probably a little bit of both. Their decision opened a window of opportunity, and for 18 years, they've carried the weight of public condemnation. On top of the grief of losing their child, and whatever we think of their choice that night, I think that we'd all agree that no one deserves the nightmare that was to follow. In 2011, the UK launched Operation Grange, pouring millions of pounds into reviewing the case. Over 13 million had been spent. Portuguese authorities had previously shelved the investigation in 2008, only to reopen it in 2013 under public pressure. British detectives interviewed witnesses, tested theories of abduction, sex trafficking, even accidental death. But for years, no charges, no breakthrough, just false leads, speculation, an endless media frenzy. Some suspected burglars. Many believed Madeline was abducted by a sex trafficking ring. Theories spiraled from local predators to international conspiracies. The McCanns themselves suffered unfair suspicions and tabloid cruelty. Though they were never charged, there were many who believed that they should have been. And if they hadn't been doctors with means and a lesser standing in society, they would have been charged. But through it all, the truth remained hidden. Then, in 2020, German prosecutors announced a new suspect, Christian Bruckner, a German drifter who had a history of child abuse and violence. He had lived near Playa del Luz in 2007. He drove a camper van, moved in between rented houses, had a record of thefts and assaults. His criminal history goes back to the 1990s, including child sex offenses and rape. Bruckner was already serving a prison sentence in Germany for raping a woman in Portugal in 2005. A fucking old lady as well, which makes it even sicker. A crime I can't even imagine doing that sort of thing. And not just because it's rape, but you know, because she's fucking old. Jeez, with this happening 2 years before Madeline vanished. Prosecutors were to announce to the media, "We are confident that this man killed Madeline." And yeah, sure, he looked the part all right. The greasy hair, the zit pockmarked face. Although to date, officials have never officially charged Christian B. And yet they state still that they're confident that he did it. And except for a few disturbing items that may or may not be related to Madeline, to date, they've released very little evidence. A hidden hard drive, buried under his dog, contained child abuse material, which I doubt belonged to the dog. Investigators uncovered conversations in which he talked about kidnapping and abusing children. Documents described twisted fantasies involving young girls. They also seized 75 swimsuits sized for children and adolescents. Many of the suits were Madeline's size, although none could be linked to her. And sure, the evidence points that this guy's a fucking creep, a monster even, who's capable of heinous crimes. But they already said there were at least 9 pedos in the area when Madeline was there. Every parent's worst nightmare. To the public, it reinforced the belief if anyone could have taken her, well, it was him. In June of 2025, police returned to Portugal for 3 days. German and Portuguese authorities searched the land that surrounded the town and the resort. Streams, rivers, quarries, building sites, abandoned houses, you name it. They checked it all. They used ground-penetrating radar. They dug through ruins. Locations that all had some sort of connection to Bruckner. Places he was known to frequent in 2007. And although the search didn't find anything, and although no great breakthroughs or headlines, the investigators called it a necessary search. Locals, after 18 years of media attention, they were fed up. It had pretty well destroyed the tourism in the area. It was now a ghost town. And for the McCanns, they just saw it as another sign that the case would go on and on. And with that, the trolling and the hatred towards them that went with that case and the disappearance of their daughter. And what many felt would be the last coordinated search unless new evidence came forward. And there were many people in the UK questioning why was taxpayer dollars going to find a kid that was clearly dead, to help parents that were clearly abusive towards their children. And after all, they were partly their fault, so shouldn't they be flipping part of the bill? Because they weren't short a buck or two. And whenever you think the case was about to die, it would get new legs. Add in the TikTok generation where everybody's an amateur sleuth. It just kept going on and on. When Julie Wendell, a 23-year-old with a Polish passport, came forward claiming to be Madeline, the media went nuts. Once again, it brought the story to the forefront. When she announced that she was the missing child in an Instagram post in 2023, for months, there was speculation until she took a DNA test and they found out that she had no relation to the McCanns, much less the missing child. And although anyone with common sense should have been able to see that, there were some of us who wanted it to be Madeline. We wanted hope. And whether the young woman was just mentally ill or just another grifter looking for a payday, it highlighted how vulnerable the McCanns were for a story that had now traveled the world and had its interest. One of the most recent theories on Madeline that has made the news is that she was killed by a drunk driver, and that 7 years ago, British and German police had investigated a German woman who was part of the theory that Madeline had got up in the night, went through the patio door, went out 2 gates, and walked onto a road. And she was hit by a German driver who took the body to try to cover up because she'd been drinking. This was before Christian B. had emerged as their prime suspect. The story that had been leaked to a Portuguese newspaper in June didn't identify the woman, but the report suggested the investigation fizzled out because the German authorities refused to be involved in deploying undercover detectives to befriend the suspect, with many investigators on both sides believing it was a credible lead, but it all came down to finances and who were going to pay for it. The report claims that the sister of a British man who was the boyfriend of a German woman had got drunk one night and started crying, telling her he had a dark secret. And he went on to tell her that while working in Portugal on a resort with his girlfriend at the time, she were out drink driving and she hit a kid. Instead of calling the police, she brought the dead kid back to the apartment they shared. And although distraught, I guess because she were a sweet piece of ass, she convinced him to use his chef skills and to cut up the body with his fancy knives. And then they dumped the kid in the ocean. When Pork and Cheese cops investigated it and went back to the couple's former residence and spoke to neighbors, the neighbors said that the couple were both alcoholics. And they remember the night in question and the couple arguing. and they could hear the man screaming, "Why did you bring her back here? Why did you bring her back here?" Something very similar happened to me once when I met this Chinese girl and I brought her back to my girlfriend's place and, you know, thinking we could spice up the relationship. Well, it didn't go down too well. When the UK authorities contacted the Krauts and told them about it and that they should be digging up this ex-German girlfriend, they gave the fish and chip eating cops the high hat and they said they already had a suspect with Christian B and they didn't need anyone else. Isn't that a new concept? The Germans ignoring everyone else, thinking that they know best. But they figured it only muddied the water and was a financial burden. And besides, the UK cops had already found out that the English boyfriend with the knives, he were already dead. And the sister, she were ratting out on a corpse. But despite the crowds not being interested, the pork and cheese cops, they figured they'd do a little poking around themselves. And what they found out was that the German woman had been drinking late that night at the Ocean Club next to where Madeline and her family were staying. Further leaked reports go on to show that although the Krauts refused to go undercover to investigate her, they did interview her back at her home in Germany on three separate occasions on the pretense of asking whether she'd seen anything suspicious on the night of Madeline's disappearance and whether or not she'd been drinking at that time. But their true intentions seem exposed when on their third encounter, they'd asked her if she'd had her SIM card from a Portuguese phone that she was using at the time, to which she said she didn't. It was at this time that Christian B was to become their main suspect, and they dropped the unnamed Sauerkraut from their card deck of suspects and moved on, whether that was due to financial limitations or to not muddy the water. To which I guess we'll never know. But it was in September of 2025 when a British paper tracked down the woman and asked her of her encounter with the German police. She said she hadn't even known she was a suspect. She told them that she'd been working in a restaurant near where the McCann kid had gone missing. And yeah, sure, she'd been at the bar in the Ocean Club, but she wasn't drinking. She was working there when the kid disappeared. And she said her boyfriend at the time, he also worked at the Ocean Club, and he was a chef. And that he'd served the McCanns that night. But when she got home, they were already in bed, sleeping like a baby. A fish and chip eating baby. She also claimed, yeah, sure, her and her boyfriend's apartment was searched at the time, but so was everyone else's in the apartment block. And that the cops had come back a second time, and they wanted her to empty her freezer. To which she got angry, and she said, "Do you think I've cut Madeline up into little pieces? And I'm going to eat it for dinner." And that was the last time that she heard from the nosy Parkers. Until 10 years later, the Kraut cops contacted her and wanted to know if she knew Christian B and if she'd seen him near the McCann's apartment that night. She said the Kraut police showed several pictures of a van and Christian B and kept pushing, asking if she knew him. She said she hadn't realized that other people had seen him, but she hadn't. They also asked her for her SIM card for a phone that she'd used when she was living in Portugal. When the journalist suggested that the police believed that she could have been drink driving that night and run over Madeline, and that got her boyfriend, the chef, an expert with knives, to cut up the body and throw it away in the ocean, she said she couldn't have been driving. She didn't even own a car at the time. But further investigations reveal by both the German and the Portuguese cops that she'd been borrowing a friend's car and she'd regularly been driving home from work drunk late at night, clocking off around the time that Madeline had gone missing, tanked up by the free cocktails that she made herself from behind the bar that she worked. A real schnitzel. And the family of the English chef, who were good with knives, the one they figured might have cut up Madeline, well, they were interviewed by the UK police on behalf of the Portuguese and the Germans, and apparently their lips were tighter than the Velcro strap on a cripple's boot. Like a strap on a spastic spoon, they weren't giving away nothing. And when the press got wind of it and asked the UK cops, they only said our thoughts remain with the family and it would be inappropriate to comment further while inquiries continue. Which ain't exactly a no, meaning maybe this theory ain't so wild after all. After all, the McCanns had willingly admitted the night before Madeline's disappearance, she'd woken up crying, and the next day she'd asked them where they'd been. Part of the hit-and-run theory is that she might have gone looking for them. But Madeline's mother, Kate, has long dismissed the suggestion that her daughter managed to get out of the apartment alone. In a book entitled Madeline, she wrote, "To give any credence whatsoever to the idea that Madeline could have walked out on her own, you would have to accept the fact that she'd gone out the back way, pulling aside the sitting room curtains, drawing them again, then opening the patio door, shutting it behind her, then going down the stairs and opening that gate and shutting it behind her and going out onto the road." Closing his statement with, "What 3-year-old do you know who could do that?" Now, of course, dismissing this theory, well, that's convenient for Kate and her husband, ain't it? Because it would mean that the death of Madeline is solely down to them. Well, and the drunk driver who ran her over. But still, if they'd been home, or better still, paid the $15 to get a babysitter, their daughter'd be alive. And that realization's gotta hurt, no matter how much you change the facts around in your head. But either way, it appears the crowd cops played down the hit-and-run theory when their case against Christian B. began to look more promising. Christian B. remains under investigation for Madeline's murder. And he's been warned by the pork and cheese cops that if he's thinking of going on a vacation, he best skip Portugal. Many experts have since stated that Christian B. has never had any credible evidence brought up against him. Yeah, sure, he's a creep. He's probably a pedo. And he raped some grisly old lady. But he's never had anything link him to Madeline. And if there was anything, he'd be charged for it. German police have stated, "For us, he is still the only suspect in the case, and we continue to assume that he is responsible for the death of Madeline." Which is a comforting thought when he's due to be released from prison on September 17th, 2025, after he served a 7-year sentence for 2005 rape. So unless prosecutors bring new charges, he'll be walking free. So for investigators, this is a ticking clock. For Madeline's family, well, the nightmare continues. And for Bruckner, whether guilty or not, life on the outside, it's not going to be easy for him. He's going to be a man with a target on his back. And he certainly ain't going to be welcome at the local waiting pool, because there are elements of society out there who have no problem with taking the law into their own hands. So whether you're a glass is half full or half empty type of person, you still gotta wonder, where does this leave us? After 18 years, millions spent, dozens of theories, and countless heartbreaks, the question still remains, will we ever truly know what happened to Madeline McCann that night at that resort? Yeah, sure, her parents still hope. Investigators still search. But the trail grows colder with each passing year. And the money's drying up. That gravy train is losing its biscuit wheels. Over the years, the McCann case has been a revolving door of suspects and theories, and not all of them implausible. At first, suspicions fell on Kate and Jerry McCann. They focused on Kate's party days and them being parents who really didn't care too much about their kids, just like the party, do their own thing. And maybe some things actually pointed to that being truth, whether you think it's fair or not. And at one point, the Portuguese police even named them as formal suspects, but no evidence ever linked them to their daughter's disappearance. Yeah, sure, they might not have been great parents, but they didn't kill her. Well, at least not directly. And there were local suspects, burglars who'd been active in the area, through possibly a broken in and panicked, small-time criminals, pedos living in the area, but they were all questioned and nothing ever solid came out of it. And then there were the theories, the aforementioned drunk driver, international sex trafficking rings, Madeline taken for exploitation to move quickly across the borders, witnesses claim sightings as far as Morocco, but not a single one has ever been confirmed. And finally, the man who remains at the center of the case today, Christian Bruckner, a German loser, a drifter, with a long history of sexual offenses against children, living in the area at the time, and now the only official suspect. But despite all this disturbing evidence, there's nothing to link him to Madeline. not one plausible link. So what is the most likely theory? 18 years on, investigators, although they did mention the drunk driver and that was a strong possibility, today, they believe Madeline was abducted and killed soon after. And while rumors continue about the drunk driver and other elaborate conspiracies, the evidence, as far as they're concerned, continue to point to Bruckner. But the police's competency aside, the fact is, until concrete proof is found, Madeline's fate still remains officially unknown.
Tell a story that wasn't full of ghosts floating down our halls. I tried to tell a story that wasn't full of holes that the bullets caused. Where we gonna hide our broken hearts when the walls come down? When the walls come down, how can we keep hiding in the dark when the walls come down? When the walls come down, do we step into the light, let the sunlight burn us, peel off the skin that's kept the truth inside us, let the stones crush all the weary bones when the walls come down, let the tears pour out, wash away all the past, we can drown in the flood, let this breath be our last, let the stones crush all we've ever known when the walls come down. So tired of lying about who we are. I don't know who we are. We spend so much time in silence. I can't hear the screams, who they're coming from. Where we gonna hide our broken? When the walls come down, when the walls come down, how can we keep hiding in the dark when the walls come down?